It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Line drive to Turpin, and it bounces through his legs. Here he comes. Kevontae Turpin spinning free. Here he goes. Fastest man in the NFL. Kevontae Turpin takes it all the way. Touchdown, Dallas.
Mechie in motion. Stroud back in the end zone. He's got to be careful. It's a safety.
Murray being chased by Witherspoon. Oh. Floats for Wilson. Off target to Kobe Bryant. And there goes Kobe Bryant with a house call for Seattle and a Marshawn Lynch homage.
The kick. Schrader. He knocks it through. The Chiefs are a winner today in Charlotte.
Big opening. Barkley let loose. Saquon will take it the distance. Touchdown.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, what's today going to be? Are we going to have the running back conversation today? I went to bed at halftime of that game last night, and I woke up to Saquon Barkley made it to 300 yards total. A lot of stuff happened on Sunday. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Are we out of the bye week? I think we're out of the bye week. No, we're not out of the bye week, because there's still a game tonight, so it's still week 12. Okay, so we're not out of the bye week yet. One more bye week show, and then start looking ahead to the San Francisco 49ers a little bit. And that game will be very interesting depending on who the quarterback is. But, yeah, what's the biggest takeaway from yesterday? 803-0550, by the way, if you want to join throughout today's show. The Chiefs, of course, again. I let myself get sucked in on that game the same way I do ever. I decided I was not going to turn that game on. It was the Panthers and just, no. It wasn't going to go the way I wanted. Never going to do it. Red zone. If it comes up on red zone, I'll watch it there. But I'm not going to put on the Panthers and the Chiefs. And then what did I do? I put on the Panthers and the Chiefs. And that's exactly when Kansas City drove into field goal range. And they won it at the end with a late field goal. So it went exactly how every Chief game always, always, always goes. So, yeah. Let myself get sucked in on that game. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you also get sucked in thinking, this Chief game will be different? And then, of course, it ends the exact same way every Chief game ends.
No, my biggest hope was the game went to overtime and they lost on the coin toss.
Yeah.
But no, I did not really get sucked in. I mean, how many times have you seen it, you know?
Every time. Every time. Every time might be the answer. So.
Every time. I did think of a funny way to think about it, though, which is, like, if the Chiefs had lost to the Panthers, all of a sudden, there's two things. There's, hey, that's great news. The Bills are now in the spot for the one seed. Also, the win over the Chiefs becomes significantly less impressive. Not that that matters, but, you know, hey, turns out we knew they could beat the Chiefs because we knew the Chiefs could lose to anyone.
Right. Which I still kind of want to believe. I mean, 3 points against Carolina almost indicates, like, oh, yeah, they could lose to anybody in the NFL.
Yeah.
This is maybe evidence that there's just nobody they're going to blow out, at least, or no one they're going to win comfortably over. Every game is a one-score game that they play.
Yeah.
That was definitely not the most interesting game, though, I don't think, of yesterday. I mean,
most interesting game.
There's an easy answer for that question. I don't know about meaningful, but the most interesting game was, I mean, the whole witching hour yesterday, the 3:15 to 4:15 window, was just pure chaos, and that Commanders-Cowboys game, I think, was definitely number one.
Yep.
The back and forth, the missed. Imagine
the
being
missed
that
extra point.
Imagine being that kicker.
He had made 48 extra points going in a row going into that game.
Yep.
And he missed two.
Yep. He had a knuckleball like one earlier in the game.
Let me tell you how interesting that game was from the standpoint of someone that had a Kevontae Turpin anytime touchdown.
Wow.
Yes, that's right.
And that was an incredible touchdown.
It was an incredible touchdown, is right. Yeah.
Like a spin move before anybody was even at him and just threw off like the whole kick team. The game, if you didn't see it, was an 86-yard touchdown with 20 seconds left, and then he missed the extra point to tie it.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboy guy scores, which allowed them an opportunity to get a Hail Mary at the end, too.
Yeah.
Which would have made that doubly insane. So
it's that game was wild in part because Washington has now lost three in a row.
Yeah.
And the Cliff Kingsbury stats that come out are wild. And here they are again, where every single place he's ever been, at the beginning of the season, they're great. And at the end of the season, they're terrible. And it's happening again.
Right. It just – and did you see his quote about that?
He got
asked about his record in second halves of seasons and, like, do his offenses get figured out? And I think he specifically also got asked about how there's a thing about him that he never moves his number one wide receiver. Whoever his number one receiver is plays in the same spot on every single play. Like, he never moves him around. And he got asked about all that. And he basically was like, really? He just was playing dumb on it. Like, no clue whatsoever that this was a thing about him. Which is, here you go, from 2013 to 2022. So this is when he was a head coach. And this includes Texas Tech. He was 45-24-1 in games 1 through 7 of a season. And then in the rest of the season, he was 18-54. In the second half of years, he was 18-54.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now to the Commanders. So
that game, I'm trying to think what other game I was the most dialed into. I watched a lot of the Rams and Eagles last night because those teams look like good teams. If you watch the 1 o'clock window, did you not come away thinking, like, nobody in this league is good?
Yeah. The Lions even weren't going nuts on the Colts, and that's supposed to be the team, I think, in the 1 o'clock window that was like, oh, yeah, look at the Lions. Is anybody good? I mean, I definitely thought about that when watching that Texans-Titans game. Nobody wanted that football game. Will Levis gave away the game a couple times. Stroud doesn't look nearly as good. I think that's a good takeaway. Who do you watch on Sunday and go, that's a good team? You would have said that about Green Bay probably, but they had a backup quarterback against them.
Yeah, you might say it about two teams that are playing tonight. That's part of it, is the Ravens and Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, you might say it about those two teams. And then who played on Thursday?
Would you say it about Miami?
The Steelers and the Browns.
Would you say it about Miami yesterday? Are they back?
I would say Miami has found a defense. Their defense might be the best it's been in 3 years, 4 years. In the Mike McDaniel era, they've put together, like, consecutive good games from a defensive standpoint. And Chop Robinson's their defensive end rookie, who now looks like a legit player. So if they ever figured anything out on defense while having that offense, they might be something to worry about. It might be too little too late for this season. But their defense, you know, they went and they beat the Rams on the road. They beat the Patriots and made them look really bad. And the Patriots have been, whatever, progressing a little bit.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't know if Miami is back, but I think they're not to be put totally aside. I mean, whatever their record is, how many of those games would have switched if Tua had played the whole time? At least one, two?
Yeah, and then they would be, I mean, so where they stand right now, they're the first team out.
Yeah.
But they're 5-6, and Denver, who's in that spot, is 7-5. So they're a game and a half back of that spot right now.
The other thing I thought about for the Dolphins is how it's like an SAT question. The Bills are to the Dolphins as the Dolphins are to the Patriots, because Tua has never lost to the Patriots.
I don't think, am I wrong on this? I don't think he's lost to the Patriots or the Jets. I think that might be right. I think he is undefeated in the division except against the Bills, where he's lost basically every single game.
Wow.
which is wild. Like, he is the, I mean, he throws four touchdowns yesterday. They found Jonnu Smith. They've turned him into what I think everybody thought he could be like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
They finally got a Waddle game. Waddle had disappeared off the face of the earth for half a season, and he had a huge game yesterday. I feel like, though, the league takeaway today is going to be a running back conversation, isn't it? Isn't everybody going to be debating running back and MVP and the value of it and the Giants? Did they make a mistake because Barkley had 300 yards yesterday?
Sure, I guess. Put Saquon Barkley on the Giants this year. Do they win a single more game more?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't even say one. Maybe, but
right, without
they're not
saying
different.
All the way to Barkley is a luxury item, because, of course, he's having a great season and he's a big part of what the Eagles are doing. The reason he's able to do so well is because the rest of the team is fully built out, is it not? They have a quarterback that's good. They have good lines. They've been good for several seasons. I mean, they went 15-1 2 years ago. Right. I mean, I'm supposed to believe that Saquon Barkley has transformed the Eagles into some unstoppable power when they already were that. I mean, he's definitely great and super fun to watch, but there's a stat on him that, again, this is not like take it away from the running back. It's just add context to it, which is yards before contact.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Yeah.
He has 213 rushing yards before contact. I think that was last night. The most by any player since Jerome Harrison in 2009. He had 213 yards before he was touched
I mean, that 70-yard touchdown at the end, I don't think he got touched on the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. So, say what you will about how good the running back, and he is definitely great.
Yeah.
Like, he's last night is maybe the best I've ever seen him look. A lot of those jump cuts. I mean, he was awesome. He doesn't lose any speed. But I feel like if you are dunking on the Giants for saying goodbye to Saquon Barkley, you're missing the plot. Like, sure, they should have kept Barkley and moved on to a different quarterback. But if the quarterback they got instead was Will Levis, where would they be? You know, they would need somebody good in there. And I've always thought about the Giants there. We'll see if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll get fired. Like, did the owner decide that? Did the owner decide they were going to keep Daniel Jones and go that direction and say goodbye to Saquon Barkley? Because that seems very possible.
While the clips that we did get from that offseason Hard Knocks, if you can read anything into them, was that the owner, there were like two different clips of John Mara in Joe Shane's office where it was, you know, the owner kind of talking up the idea of keeping Barkley and how he's like he's the most popular player in the franchise. Like the owner is saying that to Shane. And then there's another one where he's sitting there, and I think it's during the free agency episode. I don't think I ever saw that one in full. But Mara is sitting there in Shane's office, and he kind of gets up and like rubs his eyes, like, I'm telling you, I'm going to lose sleep if Barkley goes to the Giants or goes to the Eagles. Like the owner, I think all along, probably liked the idea of keeping Barkley, and he let the GM do his thing, which was, I'm not paying a running back $15 million a year.
Right.
That's my read of how the Giants went. Which, if he goes and breaks the rushing record, I mean, maybe the Giants owner is more likely to move on from people in the offseason.
Well,
I don't know.
My question would just be, he did not step in on that. Did he step in on quarterback? Because if he did, then that's, you know, just as bad.
Right.
You wanted to keep you wanted to keep Barkley, that's fine. I don't want to build out with a running back, but you're making me keep this quarterback?
Right.
Like, that to me seems as big of a problem as staying with the running back. I mean, running backs are the most popular player on every team, are they not? What team, this is kind of the conversation about running back. If you're bad, name one running back that's ever been blamed for the team being bad.
Oh, man.
It never happens.
Never. I mean,
the running back never gets blamed. Think of the most popular Bills players through the drought. Are the top six running backs? Five of the top seven. Everybody loved Fred.
Everyone loved Fred. Yep.
Loved Spiller.
Lynch.
Lynch was good. Travis Henry was popular.
Yeah. McGahee wasn't popular after.
No. LeSean McCoy. Nobody's ever blamed a running back for being a reason the team lost.
That is almost 100% a lock. Unless a guy fumbled a game away, like right at the end or something.
That's right. The only thing you can do as a running back to get blamed is fumble. Because, you know, on all 22, somebody could break it down and say, this guy is missing holes, this guy's not that good. But, I mean, I'm including myself here. If I watch a game, like I watch a Bills game and James Cook goes for 12 for 32, I don't for a single second think it's his fault. And I don't know who does.
Right.
Even though it could be. So the position is kind of insulated in a way like that where they never, ever catch blame. And here's Barkley now. Again, the Eagles were good before.
Right.
So,
well, waking up this morning, if you care about Allen winning the MVP, Allen is the favorite, and suddenly Barkley is way up there with Jackson and Allen on the odds. Like, there's still a little bit of a gap, but it goes 150 for Allen, 275 for Jackson, 500 for Barkley. And he would have been like 6,000, I think, before this past week I saw. So he's in the conversation, I guess, now, because I think it's he's averaged 150 yards rushing per game in his last six. If he averages 115 the rest of the way, he breaks the all-time rushing record for a season. So maybe that's what he would have to do to like legitimately have a shot here, but if he is got better odds now than Goff, better than Mahomes, better than Herbert, Hurts, all the other quarterbacks that are right behind him is Barkley.
This is one of those spots where we're going to have the conversation again where, you know, MVP, nobody really knows what it's supposed to be anymore. Now, this year, it's going to be, well, if you break the rushing record, you should probably get it. Okay. All right.
Right. Like, if you, right, exactly. If it's a historic season, then you get more credit for it than a quarterback season that's just great.
Yeah.
I guess is what the math is on that, but I don't know. So
that was a fun game, though, that game last night. What else? Just whipping around.
The Broncos are good.
The Broncos remain good. Cortland Sutton has been great for them this year. Cortland Sutton is great. He was almost traded, and he's great. The 49ers without their quarterback are toast. The Cardinals look terrible. There's one for you.
The Giants might get the first overall pick because that was they look ridiculously bad with
DeVito.
They're
smart, if they're smart, they'll go for it.
Yeah. Did you see the Malik Nabers clip after the game?
Yeah, the team is soft and questioned play calling and everything.
Yeah, and he said he got asked about him getting the ball because I had him in fantasy. He had a big old goose egg at halftime. And he said after the game, quote, "I started getting the ball when it's 30-0. What do you want me to do?" And then he got asked why, and his response was, "Talk to Brian Daboll."
Wow. Love it.
Get him to the – no, I'm just kidding. They're not going to do anything with him, but – I mean, he's incredible, but we'll see. Are the Giants going to start, you know, some drama between them and their number one receiver already in his first year when he's absolutely right? He had zero targets. They were down 30-0. Hey, maybe get your best player involved a little bit early on.
Take it up with Tommy DeVito, who was pretty bad in that game. Baker was great.
So how closely are you monitoring Purdy stuff right now? Like,
well, close enough that last week in our Dynasty League, I bid $1 million for Tommy DeVito because I thought Purdy might not play, and he didn't play.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan said that Purdy might play against the Bills next week, but the thing to monitor is whatever the injury is, from what I read about it, is the film guys and the smart guys can tell he's hurt.
Right.
And before it was, well, he might not play this week, it was something's wrong with him, I think he's hurt. And then sure enough, like the next week, it was like, yeah, he's hurt.
Right, and he had a second MRI on his shoulder injury. Like they're getting second opinions now on it.
Yeah, like if I'm thinking about the Niners as a team, I think they're cooked. I think they're cooked because if they didn't have Purdy, who is whatever, not a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he's good. I just think their season is cursed.
And I think that game just got a whole lot easier against the Bills. Look, I am. Is this wrong to do? I feel like I'm operating right now as though he is not playing against the Bills on Sunday night.
Even if he is. I mean, I'd be confident about the Bills winning that game either way. But, yeah, I think he's probably not going to play. The fact that they put it in doubt already, like a good 8 days out, is a sign. Second MRI, how limited would he be? What are they trying to save? Losing, I wonder if losing versus winning yesterday affects that. Now they dip below 500. Now they're going to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Their schedule, like, what are you supposed to do? Try and save a season like this, or just kind of take your medicine?
Yeah, that's what I wonder, because they're a game out of their division. They're one game back of Seattle. Like their division has allowed them to hang around a little bit. It's Seattle at 6-5, Arizona at 6-5, and then the Rams and the Niners are at 5-6. So everybody is still in there. It's busy, and I wonder what they have for division games down the stretch. Like maybe that matters to it. But then if you're looking at their schedule, I want, how in depth would they get on this with Purdy? Like they think, all right, we could kind of play him through it, but we can only do things short. Maybe we can give him an extra week and see if he can do more down the stretch. Because after the Bills game, they do have two more division games against the Rams and the Cardinals, which if they win both of those, like they probably have a good shot at winning it. But would they just say, hey, the Bills game's going to be tough regardless, so maybe we let that game go and see if we can go on a run down the stretch with Purdy? I don't know. You can get into all of that. I don't know that they're dead for the division. You might think they're dead, though, for what their original expectation which is winning the NFC. I mean, them winning the NFC right now seems like a long shot, I think, at the very least.
Good for the Bills.
Yeah.
Now that the Chiefs and the Bills have equal schedules going forward, let's do it again. Do the numbers on it. Who's got the tougher schedule? Bills have.
Yeah.
Niners, under 500.
Uh-huh.
Rams, under 500. Lions, great team, no doubt. Patriots, Jets, Patriots. Like, if you were looking at the schedule itself, yesterday, this week rather, the Bills' schedule took losses. Two for the Patriots, if you're just doing the math, and two for the NFC teams. So add four losses to the collective total. How about the Chiefs' schedule? What'd they do?
The Raiders lost. The Chargers didn't play. The Browns won on Thursday.
Browns won. The Broncos won. The Texans lost.
The Texans lost, yeah. The Texans game looks a little easier now, but
it definitely does. But again, how they look against the Panthers.
Right. You know, like, but indisputably, I think the Chiefs have a tougher schedule now.
I think so, too. Absolutely tougher schedule. The Bills don't have anybody. They have the Lions. Okay, that's tough.
They have one good team. One team you know is good going into it.
And the Chiefs have three. I mean, I'll call the Steelers a good team. The Steelers beat the Ravens. The Steelers beat the Commanders.
Are three, and I'm not even giving it to Houston?
Not even giving it to Houston.
Right.
You don't have to give it to the Browns, but the Browns beat both the Steelers and the Ravens. You tell me they can't take down the Chiefs?
Right.
With Jameis in there, that's a team that's 3-8. It's another one that if they had their quarterback in, if Jameis is in the whole time, they're probably 5-6 or something like that.
Yeah. No, if you ranked their game, both teams' schedules by difficulty of game, the Lions would be number one.
And the Chiefs would have the next three, I think.
They might even – would they have the next – what's this Bills' second toughest game? This Niners game coming up?
I mean, I'm it might be the Rams because it's on the road.
The Rams on the road, right.
And Stafford's going to play as opposed to this one where it's at home in primetime against maybe Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen. I've got a question about Brandon Allen, by the way, a little bit later on. But very quick. In fact, let's do it here. Should he be allowed to wear number 17 with Allen on the back?
That is a good
question. Should he be allowed to do that? I mean, he's running around out there. Is he trying to fool people? I play like Josh Allen. You should leave me in there. Maybe that's how he got the backup job.
Yeah.
Josh Dobbs is on that team. He didn't get the start.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Anyway, 803-0550. We've got that, of course. We've got the Sabres win streak and return home to play Minnesota. You can get a gravy boat. I mean, if this game doesn't sell out because of the gravy boat alone.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Sabres gravy boat. Let's go.
And the streak. We got a little bit of a streak here.
Yep.
Win streak.
Are they better without Tage? People are asking.
Okay.
No, they're probably not. Anyway, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
From the end zone, Stroud in trouble. He stepped out of the end zone. Sack! Safety! Game over! Landry with his sixth sack of the year. It's 2 for Tennessee. And guess who's come to H-Town and going to get a win?
Titans beat the Texans, dropping Houston to 7-5.
Is that the loudest anyone's ever shouted the word sack?
Possibly.
That was a pretty – it was out of nowhere, too. Yeah, Stroud ran – did he run out of the back of the end zone, or was it a real sack?
No, yeah, back of the end zone.
Yeah, he stepped out first?
Yeah. Tough one. Tough one for Houston. They're 7-5. I mean, when they beat the Bills, they look like the toast of the league.
Yeah. I think we got to officially, not that this probably isn't a good exercise anyway, need to stop doing the exercise, especially in the next month or so, as the playoff scenarios get closer. Stop doing the, well, guys, if the 2 beats the 6, if everybody beats who they should, well, then the Bills, if they're the 2, they'll play the Texans in the second round. If everybody beats who they should, I don't think the Texans are getting the divisional round, even though they're the 4. Are they going to be?
Yeah, because they'd be playing the Broncos, the Chargers, and I would pick them to lose to either of those teams right now.
Or the Ravens? Like, are the Chargers or the Ravens favored against the Texans at home? Like, I would pick either one of those teams right now to beat the Texans, even on the road.
Yeah. Well, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton later today about the Sabres road trip, wrap up their road trip where they got 3 straight wins. Sweep a Western Conference trip. Sweep any trip. I mean, 3 straight wins for this team has not been something they've done quite often. They rallied in a couple of those games from down, which is also impressive.
Yeah.
And a lot of different explanations for why they did it, and I will be the guy guilty of giving one big answer, and that's that Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been tremendous. Reimer did get a win, too.
Reimer was also great on
yes,
Saturday.
He was.
Yeah.
Their goalies have come to play. Like, really, how did they survive this stretch without Tage? Goalie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, like, they weren't, like, super dangerous, right? Like, throughout the three-game stretch. Like, they were fine. Tuck – Tuck shorthanded is like one of the most dangerous things like in the league, I feel like, because he's so fast and has a long stick, but like constant pressure, you know, they were never looking amazing. Their goalies were great the whole time, but you know, like they played, can I call it like Islander style hockey, where they played a little more defensive, it looked like, and they were blocking shots, and there was the, you know, the point about there being no panic at the end of the Kings game, despite the fact they were hemmed in, and they just, they found a way to win playing a more defensive style a little bit. That being said, as you mentioned, like they came back in both, was the Anaheim and the San Jose game, I think, that they came back in. They needed third periods all three games to win those hockey games.
Yeah.
So, and they're getting, hopefully, their best offensive player back on Wednesday. Is it weird at all that he practiced the whole week and never played?
It is weird, and I think the Sabres are getting a reputation for not being upfront about injuries. Like, this happened a lot day to day, and the guy misses 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but who knows? Who knows?
Like, is the simple explanation, there could be a simple explanation if this is all that's happening, would just be, hey, guys, he's been injured in two straight seasons where he rushed back from injury and wasn't the same when he got back, so we just want to be extra cautious here. Like, that would be a very simple explanation, I think, to why he would be practicing and not playing. But we don't know that because it's just, well, he's playing and he was close, but he was a game-time decision on Friday, maybe, and then Saturday they were hopeful and no Saturday. So, I don't know. 4 days off in between, though, I have to think Wednesday he's playing.
Yeah. 803-0550. In the standings, the Sabres have this thing called more points than games played, which is something that is, I mean, so rarely happened. Yeah.
What is that like? Let me see.
More points than games played. They're a plus in goal differential. They are third in the division and not even like fake third. They're third in the division with a game in hand on some of these wildcard teams. So it's good times, you know, good times. Good for them.
They're above Boston and Tampa Bay at this point in time.
Have you gone to the New York Times playoff machine today?
Not this weekend, no. Not today either.
Well, there's something very fun at the New York Times playoff machine.
Okay.
So, you know how it works. Like, you can click on the team, and it'll give you their chance to make the playoffs, win division, get a bye. You can dial up for every single seed. You know, depending on, if you're a Bengals fan, you can dial it up to do, all right, show me to make the playoffs, which, by the way, the Bengals are 10% to make the playoffs right now. So the Bills have, as of right now, the first round bye is 48-46 Chiefs. That gap went down 1 point yesterday. Now, the New York Times playoff machine is not just who you play. It is ranking those teams, how they play. You know, it's not just coin flips.
Right.
So that's important to keep in mind here. So to make the Super Bowl, who's the number one team in the AFC?
Is it Kansas City?
It is not.
It's the Bills?
It is the Bills.
Okay.
It is 17% to 10% Bills.
By 7%?
Yeah, like almost twice as likely.
Wow.
Again, it's whatever. Do we have to care? Listen, if the Bills were second, we'd say it's crap. Now that they're on top, we got to respect this system.
Right. Like, right.
How about that?
Well,
like, the favorite in the AFC, according to the New York Times playoff machine, is now the Bills. And that might be the fact that we just went over, their schedule just took a bunch of losses. It got easier.
Would that have to be, we think they're getting the one seed? Or could it just be, we think that the Bills are a better football team?
Yeah, better, yeah.
Which, I think, every game the Chiefs play, I think you can say it about the Bills more and more, that they're a better football team, I think. Are the Bills, say what you will, like, it really doesn't matter to winning the Super Bowl because you're not going to play a team like this in the playoffs, but does anyone believe the Bills would only beat the Panthers by 3? Like, wouldn't they roll the Panthers? Wouldn't they beat them by 30? I mean, them against bad teams this year, I think, has been, at least been better than what the Chiefs has been. So, I don't know, like, you're asking, if you're Kansas City, I think, for one of these games to go against you. Like, and you only need one or two of them, probably, because the Bills might only lose one more game.
Yeah, you'd think. Just Detroit. And watching them yesterday, there are also some interesting numbers, like Jared Goff, home and road. So, how does that affect the Bills? Well, the Bills will play him in Detroit. We know that. But if they meet in the Super Bowl, what is that? How do you do with that one? Goff this year, home and road.
Uh-huh.
Like, his success rate, his numbers are better at home. There's no doubt about it. He takes fewer sacks. Okay. Quarterback rating's higher. But I don't know. I wonder about the Lions. I wonder about them. To me, they look like not quite a perfect team, but they're Sonic and Knuckles rushing attack. They commit to it, and they're good at it. And they score rushing touchdowns every single week.
I think it's like, is it 23 games in a row a running back has scored a touchdown for them?
So they are, you want to talk about a team that wants to be balanced, you probably want to be Detroit, because Detroit's passing attack is good, and they've got great weapons in that, and they run the ball with commitment and with explosive plays as well. That's another huge part of what they do.
Well, what's interesting is because they're great, they're amazing, don't get me wrong, because they play in the toughest division in football, they don't have that wrapped up yet. Yeah. Like, they only have a one-game lead on their division because... And they only have a two-game lead on third. They are 10-1. Minnesota's 9-2, and Green Bay is 8-3. So they're I'm sure a strong favorite to still win that division. But like, they kind of can't. They could, like them, they could easily go on the road this year in the playoffs if they don't, if they drop a couple. And their schedule at the end, they have two against Chicago, which is easy, and then they play Green Bay and Minnesota, plus the Bills. They're at San Francisco, so that might be an easier game than we thought, but...
That's tough.
Like, they're a great team, but they don't have the problem that I think the Bills have, and they definitely don't have the problem that... Or the Chiefs, I don't really think, have this problem either yet, which is they've got a tougher division race right now. And if you're telling me Goff has got like a pretty clear difference, home versus road, and there's still a chance that they could go on the road in the playoffs, that means they're still playing for a lot, I think, down the stretch.
Yeah, that's probably right. They looked good enough to beat.
That game was weird, though. It was weirdly close for like the first half. I mean, Indy got down into the Detroit territory a few times and didn't score. That was Carolina, by the way, yesterday. Carolina, I'll have to get this. Carolina had field goals from inside, I think four field goals from inside the Kansas City 15-yard line. Like, they would get down right near the end zone and then just could not punch it in. Like, they had no ability to punch it in yesterday.
Yeah.
But.
803-0550. When we get back, I've got something for you. I did learn something from a rules official yesterday.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And not a sarcastic, I ruled, snarky.
I learned something from Mike Pereira I did not know. I don't know if you know it. I don't know how many people know this about the replay process and the inequities. He used the word inequities. It was something he said on the broadcast. I learned something. I'll tell you what it was. And you decide how outrageous it is that the NFL accepts this as normal. Mm. Mike Pereira, what he said about the replay system when we get back.
Let's go back to that challenge, and Mike Pereira is with us in our studios in Los Angeles. This view seems definitive, but they can't use this view, Mike?
This is definitive that he's inbound, but this is the boundary cam, and if a coach challenges, you cannot use the boundary cam. There's not boundary cams in every stadium, so there's a question of equity, whether some stadiums have it and some don't have it. So when a coach's challenge, you can't. On a regular review situation, like a scoring play, they can, but not a coach's team.
Mike Pereira teaching us all
what?
That the boundary cam, a coach is not allowed to, they cannot use the boundary cam when trying to get a call right because they don't have the boundary cam in all stadiums. But if they're doing an official review, they can use the boundary cam. So there's a camera angle in some stadiums that you can use if you're an official on an official review. But if a coach challenges the play, you can't use the camera. And the idea is equity. And hold on, Joe. Let the brainiacs that came up with this idea break this down. So just to be clear, that was the Vikings and Bears.
Uh-huh.
If that had been definitive, I'm a coach and I challenged it. You as the official would say, listen, I'm sorry, we got the definitive proof on the boundary cam, but you can't use that in the stadium because they don't have it in Seattle.
Like, yeah, that's the dumbest logic I've ever heard in my life.
Why don't you just have the cameras available in the stadium available for use, and the ones that don't have it work on getting one?
Right.
How is it equal? How is it? What about it? Shouldn't the idea just be getting the call right?
The whole world grinds to a halt to get all of these calls right. And here's an instance of an NFL rules analyst telling me, this is the first time I've ever learned anything from a rules analyst, and I'm blown away. It'll be the last time ever. Yeah. I'll never need one ever again. I'm back to my world of hating them so much. Here is this guy, Mike Pereira, to say, like, oh, yeah, like this angle shows this definitively, but they can't use this.
They can't. They can't open up that feed, basically.
Can't use it. Inadmissible in court. What can they? Does it accidentally come across the?
Yeah.
And the guy's got to be like, oh, I got to pretend I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's.
It's nuts.
It's ludicrous, right? That is ludicrous that they would allow. That they would differentiate because, and also that they allow it on an official review. Which, wait a minute, aren't you admitting there that you are willing to be inequitable? Because you're telling me then on official reviews, not coaches challenge, but official reviews, that we can use that camera in Minnesota and we can't in Seattle because they don't have it in Seattle. Just right. Hypothetically, if Seattle.
Right, right. I just picked Seattle.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you're already telling me you're willing to use a camera they don't have in other stadiums in some circumstance. So right. Why are we making coaches challenges different?
Right.
That to me is even the dumber thing. It's not even that, okay, we don't have this here, so we're not willing to use it. It's that we are willing to use it in this circumstance, but not in this circumstance. That's
just incredible.
It really
just,
is.
Just slipping it in. Meanwhile, yeah. I just, you know, it's you know me and my rules analyst stuff. I watched a lot of football yesterday. And
holy cow,
my life of tuning in to a game, and if there's a rules analyst on the screen, you can bet your life that I have just turned that game on. Just every time. Mm-hmm. It even happened in the college game. It was Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson. What game did they have? Some college game. And here, sure enough, I watched the pregame, and Nessler is introducing Gene Steratore to be a part of the crew. I'm just like, oh, I can't even watch this college game. Anyway, it's my own personal cross to bear. But anyway, there you go. Mike Pereira. So there you go, everybody. There's a camera they can't use that they all see that coaches can't use and officials can.
Yeah, they have it. Like, it's there.
Yep. And Mike Pereira just be like, oh, yeah, sweet. That's how this works. Crazy. 803-0550. Put a web poll up. Would you pick the Bills to win the AFC right now? Would you pick them to win the AFC? What my Twitter poll? I've promised, I've made arrangements that this is a jinx-free poll. So let's see what everybody thinks. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.